Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 13, and then 18 and 19 and verse 26. Hear the reading of God's infallible, His inerrant word. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They overcame Ziklag and burned it with fire, and they had burned it and overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them all off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had also been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook of Besor, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of cake and figs and two clusters of raisin. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, and he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? He said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite, and my master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. And in verses 18 and 19, David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. And then verse 26, when David came to Ziklag, he sent parts of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Join me again in prayer. Father, open our hearts that we may behold wondrous things from this, your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Theo came up to greet me, I told him, okay, hold on, Theo. In the words of a country song, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So I do want to ask you to pay attention, because we'll be moving rapidly today. I like the introduction to this passage that Ralph Davis gives. He likens it to something that Amos says in his prophecy. He gives a picture of a man who, as he's going in the way, meets a lion, and of course he runs away from a lion only to meet a bear. And then somehow he gets away from the bear, because next we find him in his house, and I suppose he's worn out, because Amos says he puts his hand against the wall and there a serpent bites him. We would say in the South, that man just couldn't catch a break. Have you ever had a day like that? A week like that? Longer, when it just seemed that nothing went right. Well, that could be the picture of David in this situation. We want to start with the extraordinary losses of David. David had gone up to meet with King Achish, one of the kings of the Philistines, but he came back home to Ziklag, and after 3 days, a city where he and his he and his family and the families of his men that lived. They came back, and during the 3 days that they were gone, the Amalekites had raided Ziklag. They had burned the city. They had destroyed everything and taken away the wives, the sons, and the daughters. This is truly an overwhelming loss. Now, some of you have lost something. I guess all of you have lost something at one time or another, but I imagine none of you have lost everything. Even those who've gone through a hurricane or a flood or an earthquake. You know, while the loss is great, it's devastating. Usually you can't say that everybody in a community lost everything, that every man lost his wife, his sons, his daughter, all of them gone. That's what happened here. That was the overwhelming loss, the extraordinary loss that they had experienced. And then in this passage we also have extreme opposition. Obviously it was an upsetting situation. We read that in verse 4, that David and the people wept until they could weep no more. It was a disaster. And as is sometimes the case with a disaster, it's easier to look back and say, well, we should have done this or we should have done that. And evidently that's what we have going on here. And then we have what usually follows, what I call the blame game. And David was the target of the blame game. You see, there was a weeping until they could weep no more. But then look in verse 6. David was greatly distressed. Now we already knew that. He had been crying until he could weep no more. But this is something else. David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. Wow. His own people had turned against him. They were ready to stone him. They were considering violence against David. That's pretty extreme opposition. I imagine you've had people opposed to you. Maybe you've had people speak against you. But I don't think anybody here has said, well, I faced a group of people and they were talking about stoning me. David was in that situation. That's what we have. And that gets us to the thing that I want you to see. What happened next? We see that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Or some translations, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That wasn't just a Pollyanna thing to say, oh, everything's fine. It's just a stepping stone to success. Don't worry about it. It'll all turn out fine. No. It was a terrible situation. But in this situation, David found encouragement in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And I want us to look at this passage and see, how do you have this kind of encouragement in the Lord or being strengthened in the Lord? And I want to give you, in the short time left, a number of things. First of all, he was strengthened by remembering his personal relation with the Lord. You see, he was strengthened by his personal relation with the Lord. I want you to see that. He didn't just say that there was a God, not even that there was a God who was the God of Israel. It said, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. That's an important starting place. Maybe you can remember in Psalm 23 that David doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. That would be a wonderful thing. The Lord is a shepherd for his people. That would be an even better thing. But David said the Lord is my shepherd. Or to take it into New Testament terms, Paul preached the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the vicarious sacrifice, but he put it in personal terms. He could speak of the Lord Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. We're encouraged when we remember that personal relationship with the Lord You might remember the kind of language that we have in the Song of Solomon that speaks about that loving, intimate relation of a husband and wife, and it could be an illustration of what we have here where we read there, I am His and He is mine. And so we could say that of the Lord, He is my God. And he was encouraged. Then there's something else that we see in the passage. The second thing that I see is that David sought God's guidance. Sometimes something bad happens and we have a knee-jerk reaction. Or sometimes we say, well, this has happened. We've got to do something about it. It's only common sense. Let's go. No, David stops and seeks the Lord's guidance. He sent for Abiathar the priest to bring the ephod. You remember that was part of the guidance system, you might say, that went back to the Mosaic era, where there was the stones that were put upon this breastplate that could be used for finding God's will. David wanted God's guidance, and he asked God, should I pursue them? Will I overtake them? It wasn't what he wanted. Wasn't what he thought was good common sense, but he sought God's guidance. And that, I believe, encouraged him in the Lord. You know, it does encourage us. First of all, when we just stop to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? To seek God's guidance. And then when we hear that answer, when God gives us, it's not common sense, but God's sense for what he wants us to do. And that can encourage us and that can strengthen us. And of course, the third thing that goes along with that, I hardly had to say, and then David obeyed God. But I think it's worth saying, because I think at this point, while he may have been somewhat encouraged, I don't think he was feeling all rosy and cheerful. Well, it's a done deal now. I'll just sit down. Or it may be that he said, well, I'm still agitated. I don't know how this is going to come out. I need to wait until I get peace, perfect peace. I'll just wait. I'll just wait. No, God had told him to do something, and so he did it. We don't have to wait until every obstacle's out of the way, until we understand every aspect of how it's going to be accomplished. When God says, move out, we do it. And he was strengthened that God had given him guidance and strengthened further in the doing. Sometimes, dear friends, we need to be active in what God has already told us to do rather than waiting until we understand everything. He encouraged himself in an active obedience there. And it seems to me that there's another thing, and it's a really curious thing. I thought about jumping over this, but it's given a fair amount of space in the text, and I think it's important. They're going along the way, they're going chasing after the Amalekite raiders, and they come across this half-dead Egyptian out in the middle of the wilderness. What's this all about? It might have been, well, we can't slow down for him, or we'll leave two or three of our corpsmen, and they'll take care of him. I mean, what has this got to do with us? But they stop. They give him some food. They give him something to drink. They give him it's given in several little steps here, some food, some drink, some raisin cake. Then he's revived. You get an idea that this is all, if it were John Wayne, he would be saying, we got to move out, pilgrim. We're burning daylight. But that's not what happened here. They stop. And they take care of this Egyptian. And an amazing thing happened. David said, who are you? What are you doing here? And he says, well, I'm an Egyptian. But I was a slave of the Amalekites who raided you. What do you think are the chances of David's little group of 600 coming across Egyptian slave who had gotten sick, and his master said, I'm not going to fool with you. He left him behind. Them coming across him in the middle of the wilderness, what are the chances of that? Oh, maybe God was at work. Maybe it was an unusual providence of God. And this man just happened to be able to tell them, oh, they went that away, and I know where they were going. Don't you think that encouraged David's heart? To see God's hand of providence in unusual things. Do you ever stop to analyze the things that are going on to see God's hand of providence? Or you just go on your way and say, oh, that's curious, that's weird, that's strange, oh, well, that's helpful. Instead of seeing that God's hand of providence is at work and being encouraged by it. And then we see that they were steadfast in the middle of the weariness. I'm not going to go into all that happened. 200 stayed behind. I want you just to draw a quick conclusion. If they were so tired that they couldn't go on another step, what about the other 400? You think they might have been tired a little bit? They had gone up to Philistia. They had come back home. They had wept. They had set out. They had been on the march. Some of them were so tired they couldn't keep going. But the others were steadfast. And then we read, I didn't read it, but if you want to, you can read the passage. They come upon the Amalekites, and they're surprised. They're eating and drinking and dancing, and David's men come upon them, and we're told that they went down to fight them from that evening to twilight of the next day. So it's like after all of that traveling back and forth, all of that chasing them down with a head start, catching up with them, finally they find them, and do they get to rest? No, they get to have a pitched battle for another 24 hours. I don't know how it is to be in a battle like that for 24 hours on and off. I just know that I'm tired from working in the yard yesterday. But they kept going in spite of weariness. That's part of being encouraged and strengthened in the Lord, I think. But what Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing. And finally, when they were victorious and they had the blessings of the spoils of war, we see that David shared those blessings with others. I don't have time to go back earlier in the passage. He talked about all of these things that we got from the Amalekites. They are the spoils of David. But notice at the end of the chapter, he sent out the gifts. He shared the blessings. And what is the explanation that he gives? He sends out these things. And he said, here is a present for you from the spoils of the enemies of the Lord. Sharing what God had done. I wonder if there's anyone here who needs to be encouraged, needs to be strengthened at the Lord. Remember, you belong to Jesus. That He suffered and died. He gave Himself for you. He is yours and you are His. Encourage your heart in that. Seek His guidance. Actively obey His will. I remember the song, a line from the song. I had to look up the line. Doubt and care resign while He whispers in my ear. I am His, and He is mine. We belong to Him. So we seek His guidance. We actively do His will. We see the hand of His providence. And we continue steadfastly even when we are weary. and we share His blessings with others. Be strengthened in the Lord who loved you and gave His very life that you might be strengthened, that you might be encouraged, that you might be blessed beyond degree. Pray with me. Father, there are those who are weary, those who are discouraged, those who are facing opposition, those who have had setbacks. There are heartbreaks on pews all around us. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen and encourage hearts and lives this morning. Not because of the preacher's words, but because of your grace in Jesus Christ, to whom we belong, and who is pleased to be ours as Lord and Savior forever. We pray in His name. Amen. Would you stand and by faith receive God's blessing? Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.